This episode of Standard Orbit is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek FM at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program for the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. Want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode? Join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
This is Walter Koenig, Chekhov from Star Trek, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Risk is our business.
It's like nothing we've dealt with before.
By golly, Jim, I'm beginning to think I can cure a rainy day.
I can't change the laws of physics.
Now in standard orbit, sir.
Welcome, everyone, to Stoddard Orbit, Trek FM's dedicated podcast to the original and new cast of Captain Kirk and the Enterprise. I'm Haley Stoddard.
And I'm Ken Trippett. Did you just say Stoddard Orbit?
I did. Do you have a problem with the name change?
Well, yes, it's Standard Orbit. And hey, listen, now I know you're an official host of the show, but that doesn't mean the show's named after you. We've already agreed, Haley, to your contract requirements. I mean, don't tell them, but now you're making more than Zach. We've got your required champagne and green only M&Ms, and now we're changing the name?
Okay. We can keep the name, as this is going to be a difficult partnership if you don't do what I tell you, though.
Oh, wow. Okay. I mean, we're podcasting hosts, not married. Anyway, you want to try it again?
All right. Welcome, everyone, to Standard Orbit, Trek FM's dedicated podcast to the original and new cast of Captain Kirk and the Enterprise. I'm Haley Stoddard.
And I'm Ken Tripp, and we are welcoming Haley officially as our newest host, joining Zach and me going forward on Standard Orbit. So, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks. It's really, really exciting, kind of nerve-wracking, but it'll be fun. I'm excited.
Nerve-wracking? You're an old pro at this.
No.
Well, it seems to be. One thing I just wanted to say, Haley, is we're really, really glad that you agreed to come on this show and be part of the team. I think that your views and experience and just your lens on things is going to add so much to Standard Orbit. And I'm sure that the three of us are going to have a good time as we move forward. Now, speaking of the quote-unquote three of us, Zach is a little bit occupied. The Green Beret movie, Invasion Smallville, did not go as well as he had thought. So I think they're making a new movie, and I think it's Green Berets 5, Batman versus Z-Man. So that should be interesting. But anyway, to kind of kick things off, Haley, first, again, welcome aboard. This is really exciting for me. I think it's really good for us to get our arms around who you are and what brought you all into Star Trek and so forth. So to kick off the new show and your recent completion of watching the entire original series,
yes,
all the way through the movies.
Yes, yeah, we did.
That's exciting. Let's learn a little bit more about you. So how did your fanship of Star Trek begin?
I started it when I was a kid. My dad, I don't remember how old I was, but he watched Next Generation because that was on. And I know at some point we went and saw Generations in the movie theater together. And then after that, I think I kept watching, but my dad wouldn't watch. And so I grew up on TNG. It is home for me, but TOS has been really fun to go through. So that's kind of where it started. And then it kind of just dropped off the radar after that. I was not aware of Deep Space Nine or Voyager or Enterprise. School, I was in band, working, and then I went to college. It just completely didn't even register for me until I would say, gosh, maybe about 2010, I really kind of fell back into it. And I would watch it. It was in school. And so when I would get done studying, my reward was to watch They would always play BBC on BBC America. They would always play Next Generation. So I'd just watch it because it was always on. And that's kind of where it started. And then it just kind of bloomed from there and blossomed from there. And I really fell back into it. And I've turned some friends who would hear me talking about stuff. And they just look at me like, what are you talking about? And I had one friend who was really excited because we worked together. And he came to work one day and he goes, oh my gosh, I totally get what you're talking about. Because he'd gone home after me talking about Star Trek all the time and started watching it.
Is that right?
Yeah. And my first thing that I bought, I was working at Old Navy. And they get shirts sometimes that are for like Star Wars and things like that. Well, they had one and it says Trekkie on it. And that was, I bought that. That was probably about, I would say maybe 2011. And so it just went from there. And now I go to the convention in Vegas.
Isn't that something? So it really is kind of new, right? I mean, relatively speaking.
Yeah.
You got it bits and pieces. It's funny, the generations. I could see why it would drive your dad away. It almost drove me away. But I'm glad that you stuck with it and then came home, so to speak. And now, you know, I look across things, Haley, and you're very, very popular on social media. So how did you get to know so many podcasters and Trek fans in general? I mean, it's been an amazing ride.
It really has. So, gosh, I want to say probably my second year of school. I don't know how I actually stumbled upon Trek FM. I started commuting down to Pocatello for school. The little local campus that they have, the extension for the university I was going to, didn't have all my upper division classes. And I started listening to Earl Grey on the bus because I'd have 3 days a week, I'd have an hour commute down and an hour commute back. And I was gung-ho about using that time to study, and it usually never happened. So I would listen to podcasts, and that's kind of where it started. And then as far as friends and stuff and meeting people and other Trekkies, you know, it kind of just came out of nowhere a little bit. I went to Vegas the first time, and I only went for a day. And I don't know, I started friending people afterwards on Facebook. I wasn't on Twitter yet. And yeah, after that, I don't know. Every year just adds more people. And I add more people and more people. And Twitter's just weird. Random people follow me, and it's because of Trek. And then we start interacting. I don't know.
Yeah, it's funny how these things just kind of grow and blossom over time.
Yeah.
I know I met you for the first time at STLV 50, mm-hmm. and a bunch of people. You know, that was kind of the beginning. It was actually the first time I met Zach, and we had just started together. I mean, literally, I think had done one show up until that point. So we got to meet each other face-to-face in person, and that's rare. It's funny how many podcasters at STLV, you work with folks from all over the place, and just getting to know them. But, you know, what I've observed about you, one, I think, you know, we hit it off just fine, and, you know, we stayed in touch, but at a high level, and say hello. And then, you know, next thing I know, Haley's on Trek Geek, and then Haley's on Trek Profiles, and then we pulled you in on a few shows, and I think you might have done some others too. So it's been kind of fun just watching, I guess, you know, the evolution of your fandom kind of continue to grow, get bigger. Your network obviously is huge. I don't know. You probably have the largest Facebook, Twitter handle on the planet. And, you know, because I see it all the time. And then, you know, when we were talking just very recently about, you know, we're in a place with this show. It's been on now since 2013. That's a long time. And, you know, you want to bring freshness, new ideas, new visions to it. And of course, you know, we just completed last week's Star Trek 5 panel discussion.
That was great.
And the response, it was great. And the response on that was great. And then it was like, well, what are we doing? I mean, we've got this talent out there. We need more diversity of thought, ideas, suggestions. You know, as they said in Star Trek 3, you know, young minds, fresh ideas, be tolerant, which is always something you want to tell me anyway. So I think that's, I think it's wonderful to kind of see everything in a positive way that has impacted you from a Star Trek perspective. And we have a lot of mutual friends.
Yeah, we do.
And we probably have a lot that aren't. But an awful lot that are mutual, which is great. And I think the reaction to you becoming a full-time podcast host on this network and on this show is going to go over really well. So I'm really excited.
Well, thank you. I'm excited too. It'll be fun. I'm sure there will be people who will be like, wow. And people will be so excited and surprised. And then others are going to be like, yeah, yep, we saw that coming.
Oh, is that right?
I've been asked if I was going to become a full-time, whether it was on someone else's show or doing my own. And I was like, no, if it happens, it happens. That's kind of my attitude about most of life, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, with the demands that you put forth on your contract, we were able to meet them. It wasn't easy. Definitely a tough negotiator, you know. But I'm thrilled for Trek FM. I'm really, really, really thrilled for Standard Orbit. I know Zach and I couldn't be more excited about it. And when you rogered up and said yes, it was like a fish pump. I was like, yes, all right, now we're. It's going to be fun. So I'm glad people got to know a little bit about the fandom and who you are, and I'm sure they're going to learn a lot more about you. It just happens.
Yes.
It's funny as the show goes on, you know, there's a lot of people that reach out, and, you know, especially in the Star Trek world, it gets very personal on a very positive way, thankfully.
Yeah.
So now as we kind of move into, you know, getting you acclimated, I know you're a TNG baby. So is Zach. It's fine. I'm a big TNG fan, by the way. You know, I have nothing. I love pretty much all the different Star Trek, some more than others. But,
of course.
You know, I am. I have been and always shall be first and foremost TOS, because that, like you, that's what I grew up on. And that's what I got attached to, mostly through the movies at first and then working back. But so let's talk about your recent experience. This is where it's going to be interesting to me. And we've had a couple of episodes, right? If you were guest starring, this would be your fifth, but you know, now you're taking over, you know, that William Shatner BS about you putting your name on top and all the stuff. Yeah. We said, okay, that's kind of, I know. So if you'll indulge me as being, you know, your podcasting below the line partner, I'd like to kind of talk about your thoughts on watching TOS for the first time all the way through the movies. Mm-hmm. And we'll ask more details about the season, but just kind of generally your overviews. This was your first time going through it. It took you how long to get through?
Oh gosh, probably just a few months. And I think we started, might have been September, maybe. I think when we started, and we finished the sixth movie a couple weekends ago.
Okay.
So, okay. And then, of course, you know, we've moved on and we're doing other ones, but we're getting through them all. But, you know, I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. I know sometimes some people probably who've never watched it, at least in the original airing or in reruns, newer kids probably are just, because of the way technology's advanced and everything that we can film, they're probably like, oh my gosh, this is so cheesy. But I really enjoyed it. I love... You know, I appreciate the aspect of what they were able to do with what they had. And I grew up watching a lot of older shows anyway. Like, Adam West is my favorite Batman. I watched...
Okay.
So I watched Batman, and I loved it.
Sure.
So, you know, like, that campiness, I think it's great. I loved it. And as much as people say that they don't like season 3, I still think that there was a lot of really good episodes that I probably enjoyed a lot more in season 3 than I did in, like, season 1 or 2.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm glad to hear it, yeah. Go ahead.
No, yeah, there was a few episodes in season 1. I think I completely tuned out. Not gonna lie.
There's good and bad in everything, Haley. That's one thing I've realized. What I'm glad to hear you say about 3, if we had signed you up, you know, if we weren't tied up in negotiations, and, God, you have a tough agent. We probably could have had you on Trek Madness, which was really fun, comparing season 7 of TNG to season 3 of TOS. And we're going to continue that. So now you'll be part of that experience, which is interesting all in itself. So anyway, that's going to be down the road, but that's going to be a lot of fun. And this is when it's really going to get interesting when we start comparing the different seasons of different shows mm-hmm. too, you know, so it'll be an adventure. So let's start off with season one a little bit. It was an interesting comment you just made. You know, season one of TOS by many, let's say, long-term fans consider that, you know, they hit it out of the park right away. You know, the show just clicked very quickly, and some of its best work is in season one. And that's rare for a TV show. But you kind of said, you know, there was some that you kind of tuned out. What were some of your favorite episodes, and what were some of the ones that you kind of went, yeah, we can just kind of, you know, erase that from the old memory bank?
Yeah, I think my favorite one is Tomorrow's Yesterday. That one, okay. That one's my favorite. I'll give you my top five. City on the Edge of Forever, mm-hmm. Devil in the Dark, which is my daughter's favorite one from season one.
What a neat lesson for a young girl.
Yeah. Corbomite Maneuver, and then mm-hmm. Space Seed. Those are my top five. The ones that I kind of, Operation Annihilate, I have that on the bottom of the list. Didn't get into that one. You know, some of the other ones, I know a lot of people like Galileo 7. I didn't really enjoy it all that much. It's kind of lower down on my list, and yeah, but I liked it. I mean, we definitely enjoyed The Cage. I thought that was a great opener to it. It was interesting to go from that and having Captain Pike and everything. I thought that was great. I kind of wished to see more of that. I would have enjoyed that. Chloe liked it too. She liked The Cage. So
that's good. That's it is. It's kind of like when I talk about the motion picture, it's kind of slow, kind of cerebral, but it is a good show. And they, I thought they did it pretty mm-hmm. well overall. Yeah, I'm with you. Okay. And Operation Annihilate's on the very bottom. That's interesting. I don't hear that too often.
Yeah.
I know people talk about the flying pancakes and things and it gets a little interesting.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
But it is, like I said, it either works or it doesn't. And it's funny because we were just talking about Star Trek V last week and Kirk's line about, you know, I lost a brother once, I was glad to get him back. Obviously, when we talked about Shatner not knowing anything about Star Trek, forgot all about Operation Annihilate. And he sounds like he's on the same page as you. Maybe he just wanted to.
Maybe.
Okay. Well, let's do the same exercise for season two. Which worked and what didn't?
So let's see. Definitely. So we've got top five, and this first one is my daughter's favorite episode of season two, Doomsday Machine.
Okay.
Amok Time, Mirror yeah. Mirror, I, Mud, and Wolf in the Fold.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's interesting.
I know. They're kind of interesting. I liked season two, I think, a little bit better than I did season one. Mm-hmm. Again, there were some in there. Bread and Circuses is at the bottom. I just... Yeah, you're looking at it and you're like, what is that? there was a few in there that just were kind of weird, but I really enjoyed it. It was fun. Trouble with Tribbles, you know, just kind of, for me, got edged out by Wolf in the Fold, but that one's up there too. Definitely fun.
It's interesting, that's good, and I think there's room for all kinds of perspectives, and that was, Wolf in the Fold in particular, I mean, got a lot of feedback, even on this network back in the day, when some other folks reviewed it and they skewered it, you know, mostly from a woman's perspective. So it's interesting hearing that go the other way. In anything I watch or anything that I try to read, especially something that's 50 years old, I always assume that there's good intent in the making mm-hmm. of it. You know, that they weren't personally trying to, put down race, gender, or anything like that. I think they were really trying hard to do the opposite. And I know that got a little bit of flack for that, but I hear what you're saying.
Well, and that's an interesting point, because when I announced that we were going to watch the original series, and it was my daughter's choice because we had finished a TNG rewatch for the 30th anniversary, I had a lot of people asking me if I was concerned about, you know, the way that women were portrayed in TOS and treated in the original series. And I said no, because, you know, it's television, and it was the 60s for another reason. And two, you know, and it's also a good education standpoint, and and to show, you know, how far we have come, how far we still have to go. But at the same time, it was television, and so much of television, I think, yes, there's stories and we can learn things and things like that, but there's also still that side where it's just television. And I think people tend to forget that sometimes.
Well, when you get a show as popular as Star Trek and it's been dissected to the level that it has, its first and foremost mission was to entertain. It wasn't out there to tell a lot of moral stories. It wound up doing that, and they could do that in science fiction, which gave them great license and liberty because it was science fiction. But, you know, first and foremost was, we have to keep an audience. We have to get good ratings. We have to tap into what's going on today, meaning the current, which is why it was so ahead of for its time. And that's it's interesting. You have a very, very, very good perspective on looking at things through the historical lens in which they took place. That is not a trait I find very common today. People will assume bad intent a lot of times and feel that, that things through the lens of today should have been applied to back then. And I don't think that's really fair. I also think that it's important to keep those perspectives where they are and show the evolution and the mindset of things, because Star Trek was so ahead of its time in 1966 going forward. And you can argue in many of the shows that were in the 80s and 90s, they weren't so ahead of their time, you know. So that's one of the things I point out. And great entertainment, great stories, and there are some very good lessons learned, as they say, on mission log, right? There's all kinds of things, mission morals, all that stuff. It's all there, don't get me wrong. But I would almost say some of the more groundbreaking things happened in TOS versus the other series.
Yeah, and definitely. Well, thank you for that. Yeah, I try to. I mean, history was always one of my favorite subjects in school, but you can't take everything from where you're standing at. You know, in my job, I can't take my experiences and how I've dealt with things and say that because of how I came out of it, that someone else is going to come the same. So you have to come from everybody else's perspective. And it was a TV show, and it was made to entertain people. And I think TNG went more forward with the telling stories and teaching lessons. Probably that was probably maybe always kind of in the back of the writers' minds, but I don't think with TOS that it was that way at all.
It's funny. I kind of think the opposite. So here's our first I think that when Gene Roddenberry was at the helm of TNG, that's where he wanted it to go. He wanted to be very utopian and to drive things, because Star Trek, the original series, was such a mind-blowing experience and so modern in its thinking. That's what which drove its popularity were the college students. Right? Those were the kids that were watching. And that's what brought it that's why it was so popular in syndication. It was the most popular syndication show of its time, because of its progressive viewpoints. So there were a lot of lessons there. And I think TNG kind of started off that way, and they had those in the back of its mind. But you can see when Roddenberry left, and the show actually got better when they introduced more conflict and they talked about things, you know. But like every show, if it's going to run for 7 years, oh my God, there's going to be some of the most powerful television on Earth, and then there's going to be some things that crash and burn on the runway. That's just how it works. But it's, to me, TOS started all of it, and it evolved with TNG because they had more time, more money, to really explore it. But a lot of the idealistic stuff that came out of TOS wasn't their intention a lot of the time, but it just happened to work that way. But then Roddenberry, he got it all in his, you know, making all these appearances at schools and universities and people asking him, how did you come up with such an utopian view? He really kind of changed his way of thinking, and it's kind of funny how it all plays out. But anyway, it's very good, intelligent, great, thoughtful discussion, science fiction across the whole spectrum.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah, one's not better than the other, and that's not what I'm saying, by the way.
No,
I look at TOS as being the foundation, IDIC, right, which is such an important thing. You never heard the term diversity when I was growing up. Ever. It wasn't part of the lexicon or the vocabulary. It just never was until the last 20 years. Now it's everywhere. Well, they were saying that 50 years ago. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah. You know,
that's pretty. All right. So season three, same question.
All right. So with season three, mine, I forgot Chloe never had a hard time deciding which ones were her favorites. Yeah, number one for me is Spock's brain. I know. Two is there no truth in beauty? Three, we've got the Paradise Syndrome. Four, we've got Spectre of the Gun. And five, we've got the Tholian Web. And all the way down at the bottom, we've got And the Children Shall Lead.
Okay.
Surprisingly, I was kind of surprised. I actually really enjoyed the Cloudminders, but it got edged out in my top five. But it is in my top 10.
Yeah, Enterprise Incident in there somewhere? Just in the
middle
somewhere for you?
You know, I didn't really enjoy it. It was fine. It's
really?
I know, it's number 12 for me. Yeah, I've got it at number 12. Okay. And, you know, these always can change. My kids already decided that she wants to go back and rewatch the original series. She was very sad when it ended.
Yeah, I understand. Well, again, there's nothing that says they need to change. It's a great perspective, and those are the things that'll make it interesting to kind of flush out as we go back and we talk about the different shows or themes or whatever in the episode. So just that you're coming at it so unique and so with a modern lens, looking at things, you know, your list, Spock's brain number one. Are you kidding me? I mean, you never would have heard that. You never would have heard that. It's one of those shows that have really grown on me as time went on because of its craziness and campiness. But it is a classic. There's no doubt about it.
No, it was just one of those all-around good, fun episodes. And I think, you know, I always enjoyed those when TNG had those just good, fun episodes. And so, yeah, it was. I loved it. I thought it was great. That's Chloe's favorite. I do know that from season three, so.
Yeah, that's awesome. Wow. All right, Chloe.
Well,
right.
And she does like TOS. She says TOS is her favorite.
You know, there's something really special about that kid, and I'm glad. She'll be very happy to find out that her mom is now podcasting for TOS. That's going to be exciting.
Yep, she'll be excited. I haven't told her. I haven't broken her news yet.
Aha, well, that's something she'll be listening to,
yep.
Hopefully. Okay, now let's transition a little bit to the movies. So I only play with the six movies. That's the original cast movies. I don't, like I said last week, Generation, no. But anyway, I'm curious, if as you look at those six, how you rank those?
Yeah, I would go two... Yeah, let's see. Two, three, six, four, five, and one.
Ow. Oh, ouch.
I know. I like the motion picture, but in everything else, yeah, it's down at the bottom for me.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Chloe likes four. Four is her favorite.
Of course it is.
She did like six, though. She enjoyed that one too. And five. She's like, I don't get why people don't like this. And I'm like, I don't either.
I think five has gotten more visibility in the last, I don't know, few months than any other movie, especially on our network. It's been fun talking about five.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, yeah, I mean, number two, The Wrath of Khan being the most popular, I think that's most people's.
Yeah.
You know, it's usually between two and six. As one and two, I think that two is a very good pick. I think it dates a little bit better than Star Trek VI, but still all good movies. But yeah, you and I have very different orders. But this isn't about me. This isn't about me. And you know, I didn't know you were going to throw a dagger in my heart.
Sorry.
First show. Oh, it's okay. You could have been gentle, but I appreciate your honesty. You know, after all, you've already taken over, so that's all right.
Yep.
All right, so that's pretty cool. So now we've got kind of a rough idea, and so you finished up your rewatch, you said, what, about 3 or 4 weeks ago? Totally?
Well, it wasn't a rewatch, remember, because this is like first watch.
I mean, first watch.
Yeah.
Sorry, yep.
Yeah, I think we watched Star Trek VI just a couple weekends ago. We'd finished the original series. Let's see, we're into April. So I think we finished the original series back January, February. And then we'd already watched, I think, 1, 2, 3. And so we did 4, 5, and 6. And then in the meantime, we also started TAS.
Okay. Okay. So that must be fun, especially for Chloe. It's different. And Saturday Morning Trek is one of the best podcasts on this network. I don't know if you've listened to it recently, but man, do they do a great job. Not only going over the episodes themselves, but what was going on in that timeline with the old commercials and stuff. It's just technically and it's just a well-written podcast. So I highly recommend to any of our audience out there, if you haven't gone back and listened to Aaron Harvey's podcast, do it. It's phenomenal. All right, Haley. So now we've got a good overview of where you're coming from. I think that's very helpful. It puts things in context. Let's talk about the reboots just real quick, because we'll do some big deep dives, and boy, I hope they continue on making these movies.
No, I keep, every time someone mentions something and I'm like, please make another one. I want one more at least.
Yeah. So from your point of view, what were the things you enjoyed about the reboots versus what you didn't?
You know, I have some of the same issues that some people do now that we've gone through and we've watched the original series. And I know I had seen Wrath of Khan at some point in my growing up years, but it had been a long time. It kind of makes me on the fence with Into Darkness. There's still aspects of that one that I really, really enjoy. I love the I call him the Badmiral's ship. I actually have the Hallmark ornament. I love those scenes in that, but I really enjoyed the reboots. I think it was great for what it did. I think it brought a lot of people young people who had never watched any Star Trek, but they thought, oh, this looks like a fun movie, and oh, I really like these actors who are going to be in it. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to go. And then there's, you know, those little snippets of things. And well, what does that mean? What are they talking about? And I think it brought a lot of people in. The last 2 years that I've gone to Vegas, I've actually met a lot of people who came to Star Trek and started watching original series or TNG because they went to the movies. And I think that's great. And I love that. I love it. I took my daughter to not the first two, but we did go to Beyond. We went opening night. And she really likes them. She's seen all three, and I really enjoyed them. I think they're fun. I know they're those big flashy movies, and some people take issues with that because they don't want Trek to be that flashy. But I think they're great. And the score for me is what seals it. I absolutely love what Michael Giacchino did for those films. I love the theme. I have it on my iPod, and I'll be driving down the road if I'm going to Salt Lake, and it'll come on, and it just gets right into the heart of me, and I'm a band nerd, so I love it.
Well, that's neat. I'm glad you like the opening to our show.
Yes.
I think Zach did a masterful job kind of combining those themes together. Starting off with the reboot music from Michael Giacchino. Kano or Kano? I don't know. But anyway, whatever is pronounced, he did do a nice job. I love the reboots. It was not. We were talking last week with Brianna Ferne. She came in from that. Mm-hmm. So you're right. There are a lot of people out there that started their journey, so to speak, with the reboots. And you can see that Discovery has taken a lot of license from the reboots. You know, how things are lit and filmed and done. Even the scale of the ships are much, much bigger in the reboots, and they've taken all
which I know is what people have issues with, but I still think it's really pretty. It's a pretty ship, not gonna lie.
Oh, the Discovery itself.
Well, the Discovery, but
the Enterprise.
The Enterprise from the new films. I get it. Like, she's too big and it's too bright and all this stuff, but at the same time, I have the same argument, and I try to say the same thing with Discovery and people who wanted to complain about it. they're not going to film it to look like it's in the 60s when it's 2000. You know, I mean, you can if you want to, but they're probably going to want to make it look better. And, you know, and I think it would look worse if they tried to make things look the way they did, but then film them with the cameras that we have now and the technology we have now and make it look, I don't know. I don't know a whole lot of tech, but I think it would probably look worse if they tried to do it that way.
Hard to say. I think your points are very valid. Of course, the whole thing is subjective. I didn't mind the design of the ships. The new Enterprise, they tried to encapsulate pieces of both the original series, the movie version, and then they took the engines and they made them really big. And, you know, it was just a very different approach to it. The new one that they built at the end of Beyond is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. That is as good as, I wouldn't say it's quite as good as the motion picture or the movie Enterprises, but it's getting there. That's still my favorite. But no, those are very keen observations, and I'm glad you like them. I don't think it's a bad thing, Haley, to rethink Into Darkness. If it's something you've always enjoyed, but other people start talking, oh, how can you like this? They did this, they did that. You know, that's also very personal, very subjective. I found very interesting, if you've ever listened to Mike Schindler's commentaries on Into Darkness, he thinks that's the best Star Trek movie ever made.
Yeah.
Right? And that's just a very interesting view on why and how. So I think it's fun. I know there's a lot of people out there that it's blasphemy.
Yeah.
It's all these things. But yeah, I mean, I was kind of in the middle. I didn't think it was very, I think it was great, but I didn't hate it. I thought it was a good science fiction movie and an okay Star Trek movie, but Beyond, I think.
That one hit it out of the park.
Probably the best.
It really did. I still love 2009. I think that one is probably my favorite, but Beyond is just barely underneath. I mean, I had so many moments when they did the warp bubble.
Yeah.
Oh my
yep.
gosh, because that's based on some of the science that we think of how we can do it. And I had like a total like holy crap moment in the theater.
Okay. You didn't spill your popcorn.
No. I worked in a movie theater. I can't eat the popcorn much anymore.
You worked in a movie theater? Okay. All right. That's another thing that you and Schindler have in common. that's cool. I think Beyond is the best of the three. And Star Trek 09 is right up there, but Beyond is just something really special. I don't know why it is for me. It's kind of like motion picture is for mm-hmm. me. Obviously not for you, but we'll work on it. Oh, that's good. I think this helps. This gets some insights as to, you know, some overarching themes and how you see things. And I think that'll help us, too, as we move further in our discussions as we continue, you know, Standard Orbit's, you know, drive into you know, fun analysis and different viewpoints. I'm really looking forward to moving forward with you and Zach and trying to come up with those, you know, crazy ideas and new ways of looking at things or pulling out subjects that I think that people hadn't thought of before. And I think that's important. I'm looking forward. There's no pressure on you, by the way.
No pressure.
No pressure. You've got to come up with all these new ideas and concepts. But, it is challenging and fun. Trying to keep a show at its age, you know, fresh and keep going. But you know, there are people that have been doing it for Star Wars for forever, and they don't have near enough hours or you know, things to review like we
do.
So
they definitely don't. Although I'm not much into that one world as I am. As much as Star Trek or Orphan Black, that's my other one.
Orphan Black. My wife's a big Orphan Black fan. So. Okay, good. Let me just say, any final thoughts or anything you want to say out there to all your listeners?
No, not at the moment. Today's kind of like a woo, holy moment.
Okay, holy moment. Okay, well, I'll say this: the way ahead looks bright and looks exciting for us. I think there's a lot of good content to come forward. We'll be working with our listeners too to throw out any suggestions or ideas they have, and we'll be working with Justin Ozer, who's the content manager of Trek FM as well. And I think this is going to be a lot of fun. We all know who's in charge now. I get it. But thanks again, Haley, for agreeing to come aboard. And I look forward to this journey with you. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, thank you for asking me. And I'm looking forward to it, too. It's going to be exciting and different and very new. Something new for me.
Something new. Yes, yes. You will see. There is more work to this than one thinks.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Oh, yeah. And thanks to all the listeners for their support, especially on that last thread we had for last week's show on Star Trek V. That phenomenal inputs and feedback on that show. So, you know, we're going to keep that momentum going. So, talking about looking at the original series through a new lens and welcoming Haley to the team isn't the only thing we're talking about on Trek FM this week. So here's some other shows you might have missed.
Previously on Trek.fm, The 602 Club.
And it really speaks to me, Halliday's ego even, of I'm going to make everyone love what I love, and then that's how they'll win the contest. You know, and it's sad that it feels like it all became that, what you're saying, Matt, of it, everyone not even having the creativity to have their own stuff anymore. It's all about what Halliday was interested in. And then I think, too, it really also could be even a commentary about greed in society now, that everything really revolved around wanting to get his fortune. So they did all the research they had to do because they just wanted the money.
Warp 5.
Wait, hold on. You don't have a reflection. There's beams of light traversing the ship, cutting you. And my lack of logic is what's astounding here?
Yeah, because you made an assumption based on zero evidence.
Except for the fact that they just melted.
Yeah, the three
we
that we've
know
seen,
for
we don't
fact
know
that
what the rest of them are doing. This is the
we
first one
we don't know if it
seen
was anymore.
Okay, let's scan the melting.
Meta Treks.
And do it all over again.
Are you
again
bad-mouthing Voyager to a guy who hosts a Voyager podcast?
You know I am. I always love to rib you about Voyager, but they really kind of play that card in this episode. They hit that magic reset button. So.
Take that, you Deep Space Nine-loving Voyager-hating reset button-obsessing fans. There's a reset button right here in this episode of Deep Space Nine.
Literary Treks.
But that was also like one of the core ideas of the story before I even knew much about how it was going to develop, was this notion that we could find something to explore that would allow different groups of people to come together to explore it than we're used to seeing.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they are published. And please leave us a star rating and a written review. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Speaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and most third-party apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link as well.
If you'd like to help us keep all our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit Patreon, that's patreon.com/TrekFM to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more, available through our special patrons website, Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month, so we really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/TrekFM. We also want to thank very, very much our esteemed associate producers, Norman C. Lau, Nicholas Anastasio, Tim Robertson, Richard Marquez, Corey Elrod, and Dan Rhodes. So Norm, Nick, Tim, Richard, Corey, and Dan, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. It means as much as we can possibly tell you the world to us that you've agreed to sign on and help keep Standard Orbit alive and well.
Yes, thank you so much, guys. We really do appreciate all your contributions. So we'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the search field on Facebook and it should come right up. If you'd like to send us email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and select Standard Orbit. That will come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at TrekFM and on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM. As for us personally, you can find me on Twitter at MoronZach, that's MoreOnZach. And I'm also the host of my own show called Always Hold On to Smallville, where we talk about each and every episode of that Young Superman show. You can find us on Twitter at AlwaysMallville with one S. What about you, Ken?
Well, you can find me on Twitter as well at Boston, S-C-P-O, stands for at Boston Senior Chief Petty Officer. And I'm also on the Babel Conference whenever I can be, engaging and trying to add, you know, a lot of good provocative suggestions to our other shows. But anyway, we look forward to seeing you on the Babel Conference and responding back and forth on this show as well.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us this week. But stay tuned next time for another edition of Standard Orbit.